thing. We like to give people, you know, we are a body and we all have something to give. We all have something to share, right? Holy Spirit that's in our pastor is the same Holy Spirit that's in every single one of you guys, and he's speaking to you and you guys are walking in relationship with him, and he's giving you things that's good, that can bless the body, right? So this is one of the things why we do this, like a 10-minute speaker. And so this morning we've got my lovely wife, Heather Noble. So let's pray for Heather, right? Lord, we just thank you so much for Heather. We just thank you for everything that you have deposited in her in relationship, Lord. We just pray, Holy Spirit, right now, you just give her the right words to say. Help her just to articulate the well from that well that you've placed inside her heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, so I was scheduled for 10-minute speaking, and I had volunteered to do it, and literally, now this sounds kind of silly, it was on my mind, and I'd been praying about it for the last couple weeks, and then this week was nuts, and I'd been running around with the kids, just go, go, go. I'm having one of those sorts of seasons, and the boys and I had a rough morning. We were late. We didn't even make it till worship was almost over, and then I'm sitting there in worship thinking, today, my 10 minutes. But the Lord has been whispering things to me for weeks. But the funny thing is, I think it was completely the Lord. Because of what he has been whispering, it's kind of ironic that I didn't realize until I was sitting there that I was, because in my mind, I had another week. But I'm just going to share a little bit where I am at and what the Lord has been kind of whispering about, and I hope that it is an encouragement to someone. I have had a season, and I know we have all walked through seasons that are particularly stretching, and then every now and then you have one that feels like it's never going to end. One of those ones where I felt like, you know, I could tolerate feeling, I was trying to describe it. I'm not the best communicator with my own husband, which is kind of funny. I guess we communicate differently. And I kind of got pushed to a brink the other, and I tried to articulate where I'm at to my husband. And what I felt like I saw was like, I feel like this is cliff. Like when we took the kids to Glacier National Park, and you know that when you're looking down and you feel like your car can't possibly fit on this road, and it's so far down, and it's like, everything in you just feels like you just gotta hang on. I mean, you're looking at the car in front of you thinking, they're on the road. Apparently we can fit. No one's plummeting to their death. We're gonna follow along. You know what I mean? And it was one of those times that it's like, I felt like I'm walking on the edge of this cliff, and every now and then my one foot will slide, and then we'll get our bearings, and then like, and I have a day where I feel like I kind of step back from it, but so much I feel like I'm walking on the edge. And I felt like the Lord was talking to me about how some people are kind of made that they're not so afraid. Like you think about like people who I was watching on TV about people hang gliding and doing these things where they go, and you think the first time you do something like that, that you just run and go off the, you think, I don't know. I've always been geared towards, I need to know that something's going to be successful before I jump in with both feet. And to do something like that the first time is, but that is not how I have been. I think I have struggled with that feeling of walking on the edge. And a couple months ago, we had a worship practice in our house. And I felt like the most touched by the Lord that I had felt in years. And I felt like he showed me a picture of a fence. And I felt like he was calling me to the gate, kind of like in Song of Solomon, you know. And I'm coming to the gate, and I can see him looking through the gate at me. And in my heart, I'm feeling like, should I open the gate? I can't open the gate. I don't know. You know, like I'm struggling with this. And I'm looking at him. And this is what really touched me, is to see his eyes. And I still, like, it's like an image that won't go away the last couple months, to see his eyes. He was smiling at me. He was not displeased that I was struggling with the gait. He was not impatiently, come on now, where's, you know, get yourself together here and open the gate. You know, there was not a hint of it. It was just, and he put his hand through the gate, almost like there was a space there, and we were holding hands through the gate, and he's smiling at me. And I thought about it over and over and over the last couple months, as I feel like I'm walking on this edge. And I feel like the Lord, this morning, that's what spoke to me. I feel like I've been kind of on the verge of a breakthrough of opening that gate for a long time. I've known him a long time. I've talked to him a long time. I have had all kind of revelations, Lord, but I still feel like there's a part of me that can't just skydive off that cliff, that can't 100% trust. And I wanted to share that I feel like I've made, like lately, and I know other people can be like this, like beat themselves up for their weaknesses, for their feeling like they see their areas that aren't perfect. And I feel like the Lord has kind of allowed me to be in an extended season where no matter how hard I work at it, I cannot. I make dumb mistakes lately, like forgetting I was the 10-minute speaker today, like showing up at the wrong time at the wrong place, forgetting all the things. And I feel like the Lord is kind of is showing me, there's all kinds of things, but I wanted to show you. He has been speaking to me. He's been speaking to me about my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I have read that. I have heard that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I get it, but I don't think I get it, if that makes sense. I think he's has me at a place where it's like that I don't have a full revelation of it yet, but that I wanted to, there's a whole lot in that scripture that I have, in that chapter, that I have loved, where he's talking about, okay, I'm going to read a piece of it. I don't know how long I am talking here. Okay, I'm going to read a piece of it. Okay, so this is about, I'm not going to go into the thorn in the flesh part. That's a whole nother thing. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on. My eyes are blurring up on me here. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether it was in the body or out of the body. I don't know. God knows. Love that part, because it's like, how often do we get in arguments about people, you know, or judge other people's encounters with the Lord, or I don't know, whatever. Get in arguments about what exactly is happening there. But if it's the Lord, does it? God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. And I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. This is what I was thinking about that road in Glacier, thinking about that guy that's comfortable just hopping off there and skydiving or launching off the cliff. There is something powerful about seeing other people's experiences, other people's successes, and finding a certain amount of strength in that, watching the car in front of me not plummeting off the cliff. there's encouragement about that. I don't have to have it all together. I can trust the Lord, but I can also see that man in front of me, whether, you know, their experience, and find some strength and encouragement in their successes. Okay. Even if I be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. Okay, but I refrain. No one will think more of me than is warranted. Okay, I don't want to read everything because I don't want to be so long. But what I do or say, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. I'm not going to go into all that part. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I used to see that very differently than I do now, but I have been really moved lately too by, like for instance, I took the kids to the library and I saw a book that just the title of it jumped out at me. I grabbed it and I've been reading it, and it was called Something from Nothing, and it was a biography about Marie Curie and her discovery with the X-ray and all the kind of thing. But I feel like, and Paul and I've had conversations about this the last few days, that so many people that have done powerful and amazing things did not come from a place of strength. They came from that rising up from a place of weakness. But I feel like the Lord wants to encourage some of you that he's not displeased with your weaknesses. He is smiling at you. He is holding your hand. He is loving you. He is not frustrated or impatient or tapping his foot till you get it all together. And I'm only starting to feel that and to really see that. And but I am learning that, and today that was one of the things that I was excited about, actually. It actually had an odd amount of peace when I realized at first. I was like, I was supposed to speak today. But I felt like it was exactly the Lord. I don't have all my notes. I don't have everything. I felt like it was the Lord kind of breathing into my sails to just go. My strength is perfect in your weakness. And, okay, so that being said, I feel like there's so many other things that I had. Now, I guess maybe I can speak again when I do have notes. But I just want to pray. I just want to pray over us that if that's okay. But, Lord, we thank you so much that you are our strength, that we do not have to have it all together, that the things in our heart that need healing, Lord, that you are patient and you are loving and you are constantly encouraging and drawing us out. And God, I pray that you would give us what we need to walk the road that is in front of us right now, that with you we are strong. And we thank you and we bless you.
Awesome. Thank you, Heather. We will definitely get you back. You know, I was thinking about, I never really, when she was saying that, I never really had this thought, but when she was talking about going around the corner of the high, you know, you never seen those edges on mountains and you're going around the corner, and she was saying how just looking at the car in front of her being further along and having gone ahead of her, it just like, it's when you said that, it immediately struck me of Jesus. And in John 16, he says, "And these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." He already went ahead of us. He's the car in front of us to a degree. I mean, we are too. Like, all of us are areas where we've overcome, can be encouragement to one another, but the Lord is going ahead of us. And we can navigate this life if we keep our focus on the car in front of us. It'll help us not be afraid of what's going on around us, and that's the Lord. He's already overcome. He overcame. He showed us the way. Just keep your eyes on me, is what the Lord would say, you know? And so that's awesome. I had to get out my Bible and start digging around when you said that, because I was like, man, that's good. So thank you, Heather. How's everybody doing? Awesome. So I'm going to walk around a little bit because y'all are so spread out. It's just weird. I want to be practical this morning. I'm really excited about the season that we're in You know, the seasons are only going to get better and better and better until the end when it comes to encounters with God. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking to encounter him. You don't have to turn. I'm going to read some scriptures. You're welcome to turn, but I'm going to go through them. This is Mark 3, but I'll read them. So Mark 3, verse 14, and it says, "And he appointed the 12 that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to cast out the demons." Okay, this is right before the Lord was sending out the 12, and he was appointing the apostles. But I love that because you see in verse 14, whereas we're reading that, it says that he appointed the 12 that they might what? Be with him, and that he might send them out to preach. The first thing in that list that Jesus said is that he appointed them that they might be with him. Isn't that amazing? Preaching was part of it, but you got to do the first thing first, right? Before you can get to the second thing listed, you got to do the first thing listed. And the first thing was that Jesus had appointed his disciples that they might be with him. And I think that's still the desire of Jesus' heart, is to be with us. He called us that we might be with him. Think about Jesus right now. He's in heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, and he's listening to this message. He's like here. He's listening to us. He's watching us. He's thinking about us. Everyone in this room, you're on his heart. And he's called you because in the desire of Jesus' heart, he wants to be with you. I'm sorry. I got a little bit... I don't even know how to say it, just a little bit high off the Holy Spirit this morning when I was with the Lord, and I'm still a little bit high. But the Lord was emphasizing to me his desire to be with you. Isn't that awesome? He wants to be with you, Ginger. He wants to be with you. With you. He wants to be with you. And you. Even you. That's so amazing. You know, the thing in the garden that was lost, the thing that broke God's heart. And see, that's the thing we don't, you know why we're emotional beings? Because he is. That's right. He's an emotional being. The reason why Emily comes up here and cries when she's talking about these little kids and her heart goes out to them is because God's heart cries and his heart goes out. You know, we're emotional because he's emotional, and he wants to be with us. The fall, you know, the scripture talks about how the Lord came in the cool of the day. He would come and he would walk with Adam in unbroken fellowship. Can you imagine? How many has ever seen, there's a show, I don't know how many people have Pure Flix, but I begrudgingly signed up for it because it was a free trial. I thought, well, maybe they'll have something. It seemed pretty cheesy to me, honestly, the stuff that I've seen advertised. I really judged it wrongly. There are some cheesy things on there too, but they have a lot of good stuff on there that I was surprised. I'm not into a lot of the cheesiness that we've had to, as the Christian world, work, you know, with their movies and TV shows and stuff. I hate the cheese that we've had to walk through to get to where stuff's like really good. But they have this show called The Encounter, where Jesus comes and physically walks into someone's life and begins to encounter them. And some of the episodes are better than others. I'll be honest, some of them are so-so. But the one last night was incredible that we watched as a family. But there's just something about Jesus in this show. He would come and physically walk in, and he would begin to interact with the person that he's trying to impact in a way to help them to stay on course or to get on course. And it was just, it just stirred me up because, man, I want to walk with Jesus like that. I want to see him. And, you know, that's what Adam and Eve had in the garden. They had the Lord walking in the cool of the day. when they ate the tree, the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what happened? They immediately became afraid, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. So God comes in right after that. You guys can read about it in Genesis. Most of you know the story pretty well. God comes in after the fall, and he's like, Adam, where are you? Now, he does not ask questions because he needs information. Okay, y'all understand that. God doesn't need information. When he asks a question, he's wanting us to think about something. Adam, where are you? Adam had ran from God because he was looking at his own nakedness. He became aware of his own failure. He was looking at himself. And I'm afraid that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of the good and evil is the same. It's that we look at ourselves, and that's when all the problems come in. That's where fear comes in. Sometimes that's where pride comes in. You know, it's the looking at ourselves. You know, fear, every time I start having panic attacks, and I have some sometimes, I get fearful about things. It's always the result of me being self-focused. You ever notice that? Have you ever noticed that? Your fear hitting you? There's some, what do I have to do? Oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, it's always self-focused. And the answer to fix all of the problems in the world is so simple. It's one thing. Turn your eyes back to Jesus. What's that song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth shall grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's about getting our eyes back on him. And, you know, that's really what I'm pursuing in my own personal life is I want to see him. I want to see Jesus. And everything in my life, I want to see Jesus. And I want to talk to us today about seeing Jesus and how we do that. You know, the degree to which you see Jesus is the degree to which you are being restored from your fallen state. The degree to which we see Jesus is the degree that we are restored and are being restored from being so messed up. And we all are. We're all broken. We're all messed up. But seeing him, having the eyes of your heart opened up to where you can see Jesus, that is what we're in pursuit of. Let's look at a couple scriptures. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 2. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Why shall we be like him? Because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. What is that telling us? When Jesus appears, what's going to transform our body is that when Jesus appears in his full manifested glory, we're going to look at it and bam, we're going to be changed. Why? Because we're beholding him. We become what we behold. That is a spiritual principle in the Bible. We become what we behold. What are we beholding? You want to be transformed? You need to see Jesus. You want to become like Jesus? See Jesus. You see him, you'll be like him. And his number one desire is that we would see him. Didn't he pray that in John 17? He said, Lord, I want them to be where I am. His desire, his last prayer, and he's praying, Lord, you're going to restore me to the glory I once knew, but Lord, I want them to see my glory. That's Jesus' prayer. And I want his prayer to be answered in my life. I want to be with him where he is. And you know what? In a sense, I am. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. We're bilocational beings, if you didn't know that. You're seated. You're right here in this church, but the Bible says that somehow or another, in some spiritual way that's beyond our understanding, we are seated right now in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You realize that? That's what the Bible says. We are seated with him in heavenly places. So we're in him right now, but we're also here. And God wants us to get to the place to where that realm and that reality is more awake or more alive or more easily seen with the eyes of our heart than what we're walking around in here. Does that make sense? Do I need to say that again? Does that make sense? He wants us to see the spiritual realm, the spiritual realities is more real in our heart than what we're walking around is. He wants the supernatural realities to be more real to us than these realities. And he's doing that. And 2 Corinthians 3:18, it kind of, you know, it reiterates, it says the same thing basically that 1 John 3:2 through 3 said, you know, as we're, you know, John was saying that whoever has this hope fixed on him is purified just as he is pure. And so 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, and we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So here's the same principle. We're being transformed as we behold the glory of the Lord with unveiled face. What is a veil? A veil is something that covers our eyes to where we don't see it like we're supposed to. And so the scripture says that as we behold the Lord without anything blocking our vision, we're actually transformed into what we're seeing. And God wants us to experience him. He created us to be with him. And he wants us to see him with spiritual eyes. And really what I want to talk to you is how we're going to do that. But the last scripture kind of I want to go to is Hebrews 9. Pretty much says the same thing here, but Hebrews 9, verse 28. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, so he's already paid for our sins, is basically what that's saying. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, shall appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Well, that's pretty amazing. I want to read that in the King James. King James says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So the Lord's returning for people who are looking for him. Did y'all hear that? The Lord's returning for people who are actually looking for him. You know when Jesus is going to come back? You want me to tell you? I know when Jesus is coming back. I do. I really do. I know when Jesus is coming back. I don't know the day or the hour, because the Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. But as to the season, we do know. In Revelation, the Bible says that the Spirit and the bride say, come. When a church is so lovesick for Jesus, you know, the Song of Solomon's is in the Bible for a reason. That's the end time church. That's the church that is so lovesick for their bridegroom that they begin to align themselves with the Holy Spirit and they begin to say, come, Lord Jesus. Please come, Lord. I don't want to do another day without you in my presence. I want to be with you. That's when Jesus is going to come back, when the church is, all they're consumed with is being with him. That's only going to happen because the church is already seeing him. When you see him, you love him because he's altogether lovely. So we don't have to strive to love him. We just got to see him. If you see him, you're going to love him because he's lovely. he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the most awesome man that has ever walked this earth. He is the glory of God the Father. And I want to be in love with this man, because he has called me that I might be with him. So Lord wants to give us that passion for him. All right, so here's the real message I want to, that was just to get us to this part. God wants to be with us. Revelations chapter 4, I've heard some people talking about this lately, and I really do believe the Lord is saying this. This is the Revelation 4:1 season. I believe the Lord is speaking this one thing, probably, at least this is what I'm feeling, and I've heard other people echoing this. But in Revelations 4:1, it says, "In these things, after these things, I looked and beheld a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things.'" You know, John is in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And in John 4:1, he hears the voice. And he looks up and he sees this doorway in the heavenlies. And a voice speaking through the door saying, "Come up here." Do you know the Lord is desirous for us to come up there? He wants us to come up there. We're already there. We're seated with him in heavenly places, but he wants our vision to come up. John had to look up. And the Lord wants us to look up. In the Colossians 3, the Lord, you know, says he wants us to seek those things which are above. I want to quote the whole thing accurately, so I'm going to turn there. Colossians 3, "If you then have been raised up with Christ," which we have, "keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." God's calling us to seek that place. So here's what I want to talk about. God is desirous of us to start having encounters with him in intimacy and alone time. He's calling each of us into that secret garden that it talks about in the Song of Solomon. And you know, all of us have a secret garden. It's that place where we get alone with God, and it's our secret garden. There's your intimacy with the Lord is a one-on-one thing that no one can enter in with. It's intimate. It's only between you and God, and every single person has that same place. It's called your heart. The secret garden in Song of Solomon is your heart, and God wants to have awesome time with you. He's appointed that he might be with you. I was been trying to teach Haven about how to spend time with God. I thought, man, if a 7-year-old gets it, what is her life going to look like if she at 20, if she's at 7 hanging out with Jesus? I long for my kids to have their own encounter. And I started talking to her this morning when she came into my room I could feel the Lord so strong this morning when I was spending time with the Lord. I didn't really want to leave. I didn't want to come to church. And Haven came in, and she was wanting to watch TV. And I said, "Baby, why don't you go try to just talk to Jesus a little bit before you turn that TV on?" And, you know, so she goes and does it. "Now can I watch TV?" And you can tell she was just doing it just to, you know. And so I started talking to her about some stuff. And I just think the Lord gave it to me in the moment. But I began to talk to her about a secret door. I said, "Baby, do you know there's a spiritual secret door that you can open that brings you in to the very presence of God?" And she's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "It's a real door? You can touch it?" I'm like, "No, baby, it's not a physical door. It's a spiritual door. But nevertheless, it is an entryway from where we are to where he is." Y'all remember the dream? I shared this a few weeks ago, or maybe months ago now, when I first started talking about intercession. The dream that I had where, in this dream, I was in a hotel room with my father. And when my father had check this room out for us to come, and we were staying in this room together, and I go over to the closet and I open the closet and I thought, huh, because right in the closet there was this bed that had been designed to be inside the closet, which in real life this wouldn't work, but in the dream I was like, amazing, there is a bed inside the closet. I thought, that's a pretty cool thing. In the natural, it makes no sense why that would be cool, but in this dream, it made sense. And so, I'm looking at this bed, and I'm looking around in the closet. And all of a sudden, as I'm standing in the closet, I look to the left and I see a door. And I thought, "Wow, there's a door in the closet." So I open the door up, And to my amazement, it opened up into a secret passageway. And this passageway, it made me feel like Indiana Jones or something. It was just like, oh my gosh, this passageway, it just was so cool. A secret passageway. So I had to go figure out where it led. So I started going down the pathway. And it started coming into rooms upon rooms upon rooms. There were so many rooms, I couldn't even visit them all. But the overall thing that I kept noticing in all these rooms was like Disney stuff. Like everything was happy. There was lots of princes and princesses everywhere. There was all this, I don't even understand it, but there was Disney stuff. And I was thinking how joyous everything is in this room. It is like heaven. It is so amazing. And I go to this one balcony and I look out over the balcony and there was a whole street. As I looked out over this balcony, there was another balcony across the way, but in between the two balconies, because that was another room across there. And I'm at the end of one room and there's a balcony and there's a street and there's a parade going on of just joyous people having the most awesome time. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. And when I woke up from that dream, I'm like, the Lord began to speak to me, and I began to get revelation that that closet is our prayer closet. And the doorway that we can open in prayer will take us into another spiritual place that God desires us to be. It's a secret place. It's the garden. It's the secret garden of our heart where we can encounter what's Disney. It's the magic kingdom. It's the magic kingdom. There's a kingdom that's magical that God wants us to encounter. And that's that Revelations 4:1 door. God wants us to go up here. And so I was telling Haven about this door and how this is a couple of things I gave her, because God wants us to learn how to spend time with him. And he wants us to be Marys. Martha's busy doing for the Lord. And we need to do for the Lord, okay? But that's not the most important thing. You know, Jesus said, I appointed them that they might be with me and that they might preach. You got to keep Mary before Martha, all right? What was Martha was busy trying to work for the Lord, and she's upset that Mary was sitting there at Jesus' feet, and she said, Lord, do you not care about me? Because I'm up here working, but this lazy sister right here, all she wants to do is just sit at your feet. And he said, Martha, you are busy with so many things. There's only a few things that matter, really only one. Mary has chosen the better part, and this will not be taken away from her. Guys, I want to tell you today that if you choose the better part, which is to sit with the Lord, that God will not take that away from you. He wants us to prioritize sitting with him above anything else. Anything. That's the number one priority that God desires for us, is to sit with him. So I just want to give you some practical stuff. If you're not, I encourage you, and I'm sure most of you are, but if you're not, don't let a day go by that you're not setting aside time to be with Jesus, okay? When I was younger, in my early 20s, I got a hold of that. Man, I got to get with the Lord every day. I don't know why I got that, but by the grace of God, I got that. And since I've been probably 20 years old, I have spent every day of my life for the most part with the Lord. I've carved, sometimes it was in the evening, sometimes in the morning. As I got to get older, I just started feeling like, man, you know what? I just want to put the Lord on the very front of my day. And then sometimes I'll put him in the end of my day, but I definitely want to put him at the front of my day. And I just started making sure that I'm putting that first part with the Lord. And sometimes there were seasons, like there was a season when I was working construction and I had to be at the job site at 7. I got off, I believe, if I remember correctly, like 3:30, 4 o'clock, and I would immediately turn around and go straight to school at night where I was studying construction, and I wouldn't get home until 11. And so I usually was so exhausted, and I wasn't finding time. But, you know, my friends would go out to lunch, so I decided, you know what, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to skip lunch bring my lunch, eat in my car, and read the Bible and pray. And that, you know, I said it as my, you know, by the grace of God, and it's by His grace, that I have to be with Him. And so, and I do it when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. But one thing I found is that if you seek Him, you shall find Him, right? And that's what all of us want to do. So I just encourage you, first of all, make sure you're setting aside time to be with Him, because that's His greatest desire, is to be with you. Secondly, is like, if when we're coming in and we're going to pray, we're going to spend time with God, I told Haven this. I said, baby, when you go to spend time with the Lord, you don't want to just go and just try to get it over with as fast as possible so you can get to watching TV. But I think a lot of times we do the same thing. You know, we're just trying to check our box so that we can feel good that we spent time with God. And God doesn't, if that's what you're doing, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's times that you have to discipline the flesh, okay? That is just a reality. The flesh does not want to always spend time with God. Sometimes the flesh usually wants to do anything but spend time with God. But we're not checking a box. We're wanting to get to the place to where we're so hungry for Him that we're sitting with Him. We're seeking Him. He is our goal. He is our desire, right? And we want to be in His presence. So this is what I told her. Psalm 62. Baby, look, I said, read what that says. She's like, I wait quietly before God. I said, yeah. And I said, read down this verse right there. And it says, let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. What I'm wanting to do is stir up the truth that God, you can encounter God today, every day. Encounter Him, His presence. You can be with Jesus, and it opens the door. So what we can do is, if you're not sure how to do that or you're getting stuck in a rut, I just encourage you, wait on the Lord. Go sit time with the Lord, invite the Lord there, and then just wait for Him to come. And you're looking for Him. Lord, come. And just wait on Him. And then as you feel released, maybe you open, you read a scripture, you know, and if you feel something on it, just let it just minister to you, you know. But soak in His presence. And if the church of Jesus Christ will do that one thing, the whole world will get turned upside down, because we are the best reflection of Jesus when we've seen Him. When you see Him, you'll be like Him. And we want to impact the world, but the way we do that is by getting in His presence. In your presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. I want to be in His presence. So I'm encouraging you guys, set that as the priority of your life. Be in His presence. Does that sound good? Be in His presence. That's the goal. The main thing, as Rick always used to say, the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing. There's lots of stuff we can be doing, and there's lots of different things in the kingdom, but the main thing is keeping the main thing the main thing, and our main thing is the Mary, simplicity, a devotion to Christ, just learning to love, being still in His presence, and hanging out with Jesus. Amen? All right, well, Lord, I just ask that You would give us a love and passion and hunger for Your presence. Lord, help us to fall in love with You so much that we just can't wait every day to get with You, to be alone with You. Stir up that hunger, Lord, in us, that we would thirst, like Psalms 42, Lord, that we would thirst for the presence of the Lord, as the deer panteth for the water brooks. So my soul desires You. So my soul panteth after You, Lord, and we want to be those people. So, Lord, I'm asking for grace right now on all of us and all of Your body to begin to fall head over heels in hot pursuit of Your presence, to see the One that we are pursuing and to be transformed by that glory, that, Lord, that is reflected off of You. Thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord Jesus. Amen. If anybody needs prayer for anything.